Their dreams are more, you know, having enough food, having a safe house, having a yard for the kids to play in. Just safety and stability. Some of them have some dreams about things they'd like to do. Most of the time, it's how to make the system work better. And I think some of them will be system changers one day, once they can think further than the present moment.
Some care is easy to notice. A meal dropped off, a gift given, a moment that feels complete. But most care doesn't look like that. I'm Johan, producer of Neighborly. In this conversation, Shannon sits down with Deb Richards, someone who has spent years walking alongside young moms, many of whom are caring more than we ever see. There are no quick wins here, no instant transformations, just the steady work of showing up, building trust, and staying when things are hard. And over time, something begins to grow. Not just support, but community. A kind of care that doesn't fix everything, but makes sure that no one is carrying it alone. Let's join Shannon at the table.
Good morning, Deb. I am so glad that you are here today on the podcast. Well, you are just such an incredible leader in our community, really. You work at Youth for Christ and are overseeing the Young Parents Program. And I can't wait just to hear some of your background and your stories of how you've gotten into this. But first, we always start off with the same question for everybody. Growing up, who was a neighbor that you'll never forget?
My best friend's parents. They were my favorite. They just welcomed everyone in. And the house was always light. There was a lot of laughter. They loved to be silly. They loved to tease. Everyone was just brought in with one big giant hug.
That is beautiful. It's crazy how much we remember how people make us feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's somebody that we, you know, you had a relationship with that family, or if it, you know, even just strangers, like we never forget that. And it's so neat how that stayed with you. How old were you, I guess, when you first met them?
8, maybe?
Yeah. Okay, well, I'd love to hear a little bit about how you found your way into the work you're doing now. Where did that start from, and why are you here?
It started back in high school, you know. One of my good friends found herself pregnant, and I lived in a small community, and it was a very churchy community, and I was scared for her that she'd have a lot of judgment. And instinctively, I just was like, she needs support, not judgment. You know, that just always stayed with me. And I just always had that soft spot for teen moms, for people who found themselves suddenly on the outside, for people who needed a lot of support. And so it was always kind of playing in the back of my heart of like, I'd love to serve young teen moms and help them get established, help them stabilize. And so I first heard about the Crisis Pregnancy Center way back in the day and started volunteering with them, learned a lot through them. And through them, I learned what love looks like in a whole new way, where Wow. You just, again, you walk into that space and it's just love. And so when Youth for Christ started a teen moms program way back 30 years ago, I helped get it started in our church and worked with that for a while and kind of bounced in and out of it as I was raising our kids, and then found that it wasn't really working for us and I just needed to get a job to help pay the bills and raise the kids. And then I was feeling really bored and unsettled in the job that I was at. And I was just like, God, you've grown me so much to the point where I just felt like I had such a good relationship with him. And I wanted to serve him. I wanted to do more than what I was doing. And so God brought this young mom as an intern to the place that I was working at. And one morning he says, well, what about her? Are you ready to go back and love the young moms again?
Wow.
I was like, let me think about that. Because it's not just a walk in the park. It requires a lot of effort and showing up for people in hard spots.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what I was going to ask next. Like, I imagine you experience so much, and it's probably really powerful to walk with these young parents. But what keeps you showing up when the days do get hard, or when maybe you see setbacks?
Something that we do hear a lot that my boss encouraged me to do right from day one was to keep something that he called a journal of celebrations, or what sometimes I like to call evidence of God at work. And really, it's a practice of noticing the little things. Because when you're working with people that have experienced a lot of trauma, that are often in crisis, it's not a fast work. And so in order to keep showing up every day and just walking alongside of them, you have to notice where God is showing up. And it might be that they responded to a message that you sent them. It might be that they actually showed up for group.
Wow.
It might be that they shared something really hard with you, or they let you pray with them for the first time. There are so many things written in our journal of celebrations over the year, you know, and often it really is just those little things, you know? I mean, holding a baby for the first time, being with a mom when she's giving birth, all those things are amazing. And they're kind of like those watershed moments where God like really shows up, right? But noticing in the hard, where God shows up, where they're willing to just trust a little bit more, where they've shared something hard and you haven't walked away, so they trust you a little bit more. That keeps you coming back and waiting to see what God will do.
Yeah. I love that you gave some of those specific examples of what it looks like, because I think it's easy for people to be drawn to ways to serve that have kind of an immediate result and kind of instant gratification. And that's not inherently bad, but that longer term walking with somebody, that like deep relationship, just being consistent, that takes a lot of patience, I think, and takes persistence. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me about some of the young parents that you get to walk alongside and what that's like?
There was a couple of moms way back in the day. They were both 15, maybe.
Wow.
And they were due about a month apart. They came from very different backgrounds, but they really bonded over their pregnancy, and it was really fun to watch. They were both so excited to have babies.
Oh.
And it ended up that they were both born same day, 9 minutes apart.
Wow.
So we affectionately called them our twins.
Yeah.
And it was really fun to watch these little girls grow up and also watch their moms grow up and just walk with them through the good, the bad, and the ugly, you know, just to watch them keep showing up for their kids, be able to keep showing up for them and encourage them. That was a real joyful time. I mean, there was lots of heart in there too, but it just makes my heart smile when I think about them. That was quite a while ago. That was near the beginning of when I started at YFC. And, you know, some of the moms, like we've walked with them. One mom since the beginning of COVID, you know, I met her when she was 18 years old and just had her first baby, and just growing that trust. And she became the mom that invited all her mom friends to come and get support and really build up the community, you know?
Wow.
She's the mom that was always looking for things, and it was always for other people, you know?
Wow.
Oh, I know this mom who needs this. Can we go get that for her? Yes. You know, can we go help this mom over here? This mom needs help, you know? And so she's building up that village and seeing beyond herself in so many ways, which was really cool to witness. One of our favorite things right now is watching how our moms come into community and support each other. And we have like a chat that we have going. And so one mom says, oh, I need prayer. And then all the moms are like, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. They're sending Bible verses. They're encouraging each other. And that just, sometimes we just don't even enter that conversation because it's just so beautiful to see them care for each other. They've built that village.
right.
for each other, that they're not alone.
Right.
And so that is what everyone needs. They need a village. They need people to be in their corner.
Yeah. That's been on my mind recently, as my sister-in-law is about to have a baby, and they had daycare was closed. They have a 2-year-old also, and daycare was closed for spring break about a week ago. And I was on the phone with her and asking about, oh, where's my brother? You know, what's he up to? And she said, oh, he's driving our 2-year-old 4 hours to my parents so they could watch him during this time that daycare was closed. And she says, it takes a village. And we hear that phrase. And something I've been thinking about too is, like, you have to be a villager in order to yes. have that village. And yes. being willing to invest in others and receive it, it's not mm-hmm. one or the other.
No, it really isn't.
I love that you even said, sometimes you guys don't even engage in that chat when women are supporting one another, because, like, that's the goal, I would imagine, right? That you yeah. Yeah. are supporting women who then get to support each other. That's incredible.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and it always makes me sad when they isolate and don't let anyone in, because that's when things go wrong. That's when you fall into a deep state of depression. That's when life gets really, really hard. If you don't have anyone to share your burdens with, I don't know how you do it. So we're always encouraging them to, like, reach out, respond back. And that's why even it's so important when you just get those messages back. You know, because it's easy to just say, no, I don't want to talk to anyone. But when you do reach out, your life automatically just gets that little bit brighter.
Right.
And you don't feel so alone anymore.
Yeah. What are some of the realities that these young moms are carrying that people might not see?
They're carrying their childhood, their teenage years that didn't quite get lived out how they thought. They're carrying a lot of baggage. A lot of them have been through the foster care system themselves. And so there's always that background fear of their kids entering the foster care system. And they know very well their experiences. And while some foster experiences can be very good, there can also be a lot of bad. And just that separation from your biological family is a trauma. Even if it means that you're safer, you never stop missing your parents or your grandma, you know? And so there's a lot of articles going around about that gap of not having a mother yourself and then becoming a mother. And that is a very real thing. Like, you never stop missing your mom. And a lot of these moms and the dads, they didn't have stable parents growing up, or they were removed for whatever reason. And so they're learning how to parent without that mom to guide them, without that mom maybe to call when the nights are long. So that's very real for them. And their losses in their lives are very significant. And the trauma is real. Jesus provides healing, but when you've never had anyone that you can really trust, how do you learn to trust Jesus? It's a slow process.
Mm-hmm.
When you think of how long it takes us, like for me, I grew up in a Christian home learning about Jesus all my life. And still, sometimes it can be hard to trust, right? And so when you've never had that, it's that much harder to trust. So that's why we really celebrate when they do choose to trust us, you know? So yeah, there's a lot of hidden baggage, and they're still trying to get up every day and take care of their kids and just get through each day. And there isn't a lot of room for extra emotional energy. There isn't what we would think of normal. Like, their normal looks completely different. And so, like, the question is always, like, what do you want? Where do you see yourself? Can you even dream right now? If you have one dream, what is it? It's always about their kids.
Wow.
I want my kids to be healthy and happy and safe. I want to give my kids everything I didn't have. It's all about their kids every time.
Wow. While you're talking about that, something I wonder is, how much of what you're doing through this program is helping people learn how to dream?
Good question.
And I don't know, it just came to mind because I think about, you know, so many people who are experiencing trauma and or poverty that, you know, it can kind of be like, I'm just trying to get through the day or get through the week and provide the next thing, that there isn't this even like thought to consider or time to think about the future, to think about like, what are my dreams for myself? I guess, how do you see that show up? Maybe that's a better question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something that is really hard. And we sometimes do try to talk about it with them.
Mm-hmm.
It sometimes goes farther than other times.
Sure.
Depending on where the moms are at.
Yeah.
And again, they're not dreaming about going to the moon or traveling all over the world. Maybe in odd moments they do, but their dreams are more, you know, having enough food, having a safe house.
Wow.
Having a yard for the kids to play in.
Mm-hmm.
Just safety and stability. Some of them have some dreams about things they'd like to do. Most of the time it's how to make the system work better.
Yeah.
And I think some of them will be system changers one day, once they are stabilized, once they can think further than the present moment.
Yeah, yeah. In this podcast, we've, over various episodes, talked a little bit about Care Portal. And in the last episode, I shared kind of some of my experiences helping to oversee this network of requests coming in and helping train churches. And for those who don't know, the Young Parents Program, you and your staff sometimes are ones that submit needs into Care Portal so that nearby churches can help come alongside those moms and dads that you're serving. Can you think of a time where a request went out and something about the response stood out to you, or just a story from any of those connections?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've received quite a lot of support from Care Portal, and whether it's like a stroller or a crib or some groceries, the moms are always really appreciative. This Christmas, we got to try a new experiment with you guys with having people buy gifts for our kids. And I was a little hesitant at first, honestly, but the response we got from our moms just really blew me away. One of the moms, when I messaged her to ask her if this was something that would be helpful, she just said, "Thank you, Jesus." Like, this had been such a heavy burden on her heart, wanting to give her kids Christmas.
Yeah.
And so knowing that someone else was going to go out and buy her kids Christmas presents to make sure they weren't forgotten on Christmas Day, mm-hmm, was just such an answer to prayer for her.
Wow.
So when I asked her what she thought her kids would like, she said, "It doesn't even matter. It's just that someone thought of us."
Wow.
And you know what? It's really humbling when you hear something like that, because we get caught up in our own concerns, and everyone does. But just that mother's heart to want to do good for her kids and not sure how she's going to do it.
Right.
And then Jesus steps in.
Yeah.
With Christmas gifts.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing.
Wow. Yeah.
Another mom from that Christmas gifts drive was thrilled that the person from the church through Care Portal would like message her and also ask what her son would like, and gave her choices. Said, "I was looking at these things. Which one do you think your son would love?" And that giving that mom a voice,
right,
to choose,
mm-hmm,
was a wonderful experience for her. It wasn't someone just being like, here's something for you because you need it,
right,
kind of thing. It was treating them like valued people.
Yeah.
You know, everyone wants to be seen, mm-hmm, known, and loved.
Right.
And so every time you do something like that, you're adding value to, mm-hmm, their person.
Yeah. And so often, I think for me, it's easy to take for granted the amount of agency and choice I have when it comes to just how I live. You know, I can choose, do I want to go work at a coffee shop today, or do I want to work from home? Or, you know, do I want to make a coffee, or do I want to go buy a coffee? You know, like just these like simple choices. Or even when it comes to like Christmas, like, oh, thinking about what do I want to get my mom for Christmas this year? Not am I going to be able to give my mom, you know? I think it's so important that we create ways for people who often have a lot of choices made for them can have that choice and can have that sense of dignity and that just being a human that you can decide what do you want to give your kid this year? And someone's going to help support you with getting that item, but you get to choose what that is and you get to wrap it and give it to them on Christmas morning. That's community.
Yeah. And that even just the wrapping the gift yourself was something that I requested for each of the gifts. Just like send wrapping papers, send tape. Let the mom do the mom thing. Every mom wants to wrap that gift to put it under the tree for their kiddo.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes in those little details, right? Like, just even in the gifts we give them or in the ways we show up for them, sometimes it's just those little details. You know, during COVID, when we couldn't go have group, we'd just go to them. We'd call it our coffee ministry and we'd just show up at the door with coffee and Timbits and like stand on their doorstep and chat for 15 minutes just to make sure that they saw another human face.
Yeah. I love that we're talking about, again, kind of we said this at the beginning, but just how people feel, because that makes so much difference. When you feel supported, when you feel cared for, you can ideally be more confident and feel like, okay, I might not have all the answers for how to, you know, be a mom today, but I know I have people in my corner and that I can do it. One question I have is, what have you learned that actually makes a difference in those early parenting seasons? And as a mom yourself, I don't have that experience. And so just from all that you've gotten to walk with people through, what have you learned?
Wow. A lot. And I feel like also not a lot sometimes.
Yeah.
Because every experience is new, right? And so you have the years of built up wisdom, but not assuming that you know what they need would be step number one. Based on my own experiences in life, like from my neighbor, from my grandma, of just being that welcoming presence, you know, like for every mom and child that walks through the door, you're excited to see them. You're going to check in with them. You're going to make sure that they're seen, make sure that someone knows them, make sure that they feel loved. And so in those early days of parenting, you know, celebrating with them. This is a new life. This is their new child.
Yeah.
And it's someone that God has created and loves. So rejoicing with them, having the privilege to hold that new baby and to pray over that new child and to bless them, sometimes bringing a meal, sometimes just those texts to say how it's going. For a little while, we had a doula who could go and do all the supporting things after children were born. And so she could go and hold the baby so the mom could have a shower. Yeah. She could wash the bottles. She could help with nursing, you know, do laundry. This last week we had a mom come by for a group. Her baby is a week and a half old. She had that exhausted new mom look about her and she's like trying to hold it all together. And I said, right now your only job is like holding the baby, feeding the baby, and keeping the baby clean. Laundry will wait.
Yeah.
Everything else will wait. Just like be good to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, like every new mom, you need to remember to be good to yourself because life just changed. You're doing something that you haven't done before, even if you've had three kids.
Yeah.
This is a new child with new needs and your body's gone through a lot. So it's doing what anyone would want done for them, you know, and when you stop to think what has supported you, then go and do that for someone else. That's what being a village is about. When you've received, give it back out to someone else. And, you know, if you want to learn generosity, like these moms blow me away every time. They're in the midst of all their own stuff. And another mom comes in that's more needy than them. they just love her.
Wow.
They speak words of love over her. They hold her while they cry. They stop everything else they're doing to be there for them. Oh, you need this? I'll give you this. Oh, there's a homeless person over there. I'm going to give them this leftover food that program gave me to take home. Like, their hearts are generous to those who are also suffering.
Mm-hmm. There's so much to learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of goes back to this idea of, like you said, not assuming what people need. And so I think taking that a step further of not having an expectation that there's always others that need the help and we're not, but actually like those that we're serving and loving and helping actually can serve and love as well. And mm-hmm. I think that's not always maybe something we say, but I think sometimes this kind of internal, especially in church communities, like you said, very churchy worlds. And I love what you said that, you know, it might not seem like on the outside someone has a lot to give, but then they still give. I think that's really important that people understand is we can have a lot going on in our world and a lot of needs ourselves, but that doesn't have to stop us from finding ways to care.
That's right.
You know, all those ways you listed of sending a text or, you know, making extra of your own dinner and bringing that to a new mom or bringing that to your neighbor. All of these small ways actually become how we live in community and how we be a village, just like you said.
Yeah, exactly.
Deb, thank you so much for coming on today. I have just loved getting to hear your wisdom. And I think about when I become a new mom, I'm going to have to call you and get all the tips.
You bet.
Just thank you for being willing to share. We are so blessed by you and love that through this ministry and through really relationships, people are finding community and finding hope.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And, you know, the community that is being built up in Winnipeg to serve people, to serve families, Care Portal being a big part of that, and, you know, all these other ministries that we work together with, like that's building up a village where none of us feel like we have to do it all.
Mm-hmm.
And we can go, oh, I can call so-and-so for this and they'll help you with that. Just like we ask the moms to share their burdens with us so that we can help them carry their burdens. When we're all working together, the burden becomes lighter because you know you don't have to carry it all, right? So I'm really thankful for all the different organizations that are coming together in Winnipeg to create that village for each other and for the communities that we serve.
That's right.
The stories we share here remind us that care does not have to be perfect to be powerful. It just has to be present. Neighborly is an initiative of Care Impact, a Canadian charity equipping churches, agencies, and communities with technology and training to care better together. This episode was produced by Care Creatives Co., a social enterprise of Care Impact. If you're building a podcast and want help with strategy, editing, or full production, visit carecreativesco.ca to connect with us. I'm Johan. Thanks for listening. And keep being the kind of neighbor someone will never forget. In a good way. Sister, take my hand. When I see you in a stranger